Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
Tonight, from great performance to missing economic target as a result of slippages ahead of the 2024 elections. That's the scorecard handed to the Akufo-Addo government by the International Monetary Fund, which is citing the government for missing out on some critical target of the IMF deal.
Overall performance with respect to the program's targets and objectives deteriorated significantly at end 2024, reflecting policy slippages in the run-up to the general elections. Both the government's primary balance and inflation missed the targets.
We have details as government says it has worked to get the deal back on track.
We remain fully committed to the implementation of the program, and we'll do all it takes to ensure that the objectives of that program are on track despite the challenges we inherited.
All the details here on Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, from great performance to missing economic target as a result of slippages ahead of the 2024 elections. That's a scorecard handed to the Akufo-Addo government by the International Monetary Fund, which is citing it for missing out on some critical target of the IMF deal in the last quarter of 2024. This was reviewed at a news conference today to announce that Ghana has reached an IMF staff level agreement on the fourth review of the extended credit facility. Member of our research desk here at Joy News, Caleb Ziblim, joins me with some details. Caleb, what's the latest update from the IMF on Ghana's extended credit facility?
I'm here, Bruce. So, confirmed that it has reached a staff level agreement with Ghana, and on the fourth review of the country's $3 billion extended credit facility. Now, this agreement, which is pending approval by the IMF board, will pave way for the release of about $370 million. And once approved, this will mean that Ghana has received a total of $2.35 billion in support of our finances.
Now, what positive economic development did the IMF highlight?
Well, the IMF notes that Ghana's economic recovery was better than expected in 2024. Growth was driven strongly by the mining and construction sectors. The external sector also recorded significant improvement, supported by increased gold exports and modest gains from oil and a rise in remittances. And these developments resulted in the buildup of external reserves, which the IMF says exceeded the program's targets.
I'm grateful to you, Caleb, for that. But despite all of this, the IMF still says that we missed out on some key issues that they discussed with government before the recent agreement that has been reached. We can now listen to the IMF mission chief, Stefan Rudé.
So first, the external position has continued to improve with rapid accumulation of international reserves by the Bank of Ghana. And indeed, the accumulation of reserves has clearly outperformed the program objectives. Economic growth in 2024 was also stronger than expected. However, overall performance with respect to the program's targets and objectives deteriorated significantly at end 2024, reflecting policy slippages in the run-up to the general elections. Both the government's primary balance and inflation missed the targets. Several structural reforms have also been delayed, and some of the milestones in this area were missed. Fortunately, since then, the authorities have adopted bold corrective measures in several areas to ensure observance of the program objectives for 2025 and beyond. In particular, the authorities have adopted a raft of corrective policy and structural measures to address the budgetary implications and root causes of the 2024 fiscal slippages.
We know one of those slippages has to do with the budget deficit that they were looking for, but what, at the end of the day, what were the actuals?
So in the mid-2024 mid-year budget statement, the government budgeted 42 billion CDs in deficits. And at the end of the year, we recorded about 90 billion CDs in deficits, which means this increased by some 50 billion Ghana CDs.
That's huge. Okay. So that's by way of what the IMF has been telling us, and we've been gleaning from the document as well. But John, your sources understand that these slippages have placed Ghana under the microscopic eye of the Bretton Woods Institution, which is undertaking an exercise to verify the numbers. But on the recent tariff increment, the IMF says it is necessary to help ECG to pay its debt.
The importance of those adjustments to strengthen the SOEs in the sector and make sure that public finances as overall are sustainable, and on the other side, the implication that it has, especially for the most vulnerable. And I think when we discuss with the authorities, we very much focus on these two aspects. So think about the electricity price increase that PORC has announced recently. On one side, it is very necessary to strengthen the position of ECG so that ECG in turn is able to pay its bills to the energy, to the power producers, and that in turn you, as Ghanaians, continue to have electricity, access to electricity on a continuous basis. So it's very critical from that standpoint. From the standpoint of the implications on the poor, on the most vulnerable in Ghana, of course this is something that we are not only very mindful about, but also we want to make sure, and the government actually wants to make sure, and we support the government in implementing policies that that enhance, that increase the transfers towards the poor and increase social protection, precisely to put the most vulnerable in the country in a better position to face higher inflation, higher costs.
Well, despite the slippages identified, government of Ghana says the country is back on track in terms of the target of the program. We can now listen to the finance minister, Dr. Atto Forson.
What rather started like the most difficult review of the program has ended successfully, with the IMF and the government of Ghana reaching a staff-level agreement on the fourth review today. This marks a significant journey in our collective effort towards resetting the economy for the Ghana we all want. We remain fully committed to the implementation of the program and will do all it takes to ensure that the objectives of the program are on track despite the challenges we inherited. Although there were a number of structural benchmarks and quantitative targets under the program that were breached at the time we took office, we have worked tirelessly to reverse the situation and in some cases fast-tracked the implementation of some key structural reforms ahead of their deadline and embarked on additional reforms. Ladies and gentlemen, to begin with, pragmatic and bold measures have been put in place to address the large payable buildup as at end 2024, which resulted in large primary deficit compared to the program modest surplus. These measures aimed at strengthening our spending commitment control system, eliminate the accumulation of payables, enhance budget credibility, and promote fiscal and debt sustainability. These measures include the following. One, we have commissioned the Auditor General together with two international audit firms to audit the payable and commitment to validate their legitimacy and value and provide recommendations for collective actions.
So that is the finance minister there, Dr. Atto Forsen. But we have been picking some, we understand that these slippages that the IMF is talking about has placed Ghana under a certain microscopic eye of the Bretton Woods Institution. Joy Business Editor George Weafe joins me in studio with details of what exactly we're picking. George, what do we know?
So if you engage the fund on this whole review, one of the biggest issue that has come up is the arrears for last year. Mm. Now, when it comes to the arrears, measuring the arrears, there's a bit about spending on cash, that is paying money for certain projects to be undertaken. And then the arrears also being calculated in way of commitment. So even given an approval that let's construct a road from Adenta to Accra, government has committed itself that they're going to pay for that money. Mm. And that is also, so there's this accounting principle that as long as you make a commitment to undertake a project, can we bring forward that cost and factor the total expenditure now? Now, there have been some issues about the actual amount of arrears that was spent last year, whether it should be classified as cash spending or the commitment, or the ones that government has committed to pay, be it road projects and all those things. So we understand that the Auditor General is doing some audit of these numbers, and he might need about 6 weeks to complete that audit. Now, that audit should come in time for the IMF staff to go to its board, possibly in June, to present their report that based on their assessment, they think that Ghana deserves that $370 million to be disbursed to the Bank of Ghana's account in that period. And it's more of getting clarity on these arrears, because you don't forget that there have been argument about what is the actual level of these arrears. And also what the fund wants to understand is that what would be the implications of these arrears on Ghana's total debt stock? Don't forget that the one of the major aims of this program is how to reduce the debt stock or our debt to GDP ratio to certain levels by 2028. So they want to get a better picture of the arrears position and look at the if these spending went into areas that could pay for itself, if these spending went into projects that are self-financing, then it shouldn't be a problem at all. But if it went into projects or just spending that cannot be accounted for, this audit will give us some clarity on that. Because if you engage members of the former administration, they've argued that these are spending that went into projects that will be paying for itself. And so when the audit is done, you've seen the minorities already issued a statement, it will get a better position that this wasn't money that, quote, they chopped, but it went into projects that would actually finance itself in the near future.
So what actually they want to understand is how much of these slippages they talk about went into projects that could finance them
itself, and also to more of spending that cannot be accounted because all these things are going to be classified as debt. And what would be the implications on the final debt position and even our quest to reduce the debt levels to a certain percentage by 2028? Don't forget the argument even about the program extension has come up. If I'm right by the dates, you're looking at somewhere around May 2026, the program should be ended. At least you should be ending the program with some of these indicators looking good. So it's just to get a better picture. And no other person than the Auditor General, a state institution with all the resources and the personnel, to give a report on this would help the fund to take a decision going forward about the arrears position for last year.
All right, so that's the details we are getting from our sources. This is still Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Let's. It's a time for us to bring in, an economist, Professor Patrick Esumeng, into this discussion. Prof, I mean, if you listen to the IMF on these slippages, what must we do really not to fall into the pre-IMF situation again when we leave this particular program?
Good evening, and good evening to listeners. Thanks for having me. In the main, the slippages come from weaknesses public sector financial management, in particular on the side of expenditure control measures. It's something that's been very problematic. It's easy for MMDAs to sometimes commit government to some expenditures by awarding contracts. So I think that's been a major issue. Last year, for the first 3 quarters, based on the data that was being released, it seemed like we were on track. But as has always been the case, in the last quarter, the critical months of the election, it appears that we let our guard down, and it wasn't a trivial one, to move the primary balance from a target of a surplus of 1.5 to a deficit of over 3.5 is quite steep. So we just need to strengthen the public expenditure control measures. And of course, whatever we can do to broaden our tax base will help. But I think the expenditure controls are more critical, because if that is not sealed, it doesn't matter how much taxes we collect. You know, you manage to let them go or slip through our hands, you keep having this problem. Mm.
But if these slippages, I mean, we understand that there are some sort of studies into it to determine which of the over expenditure can finance themselves over time. But if after the study they find out a bulk of it can finance themselves, can we still then describe these as slippages?
They are slippages to the extent that we had a plan on how much we want to spend versus how much revenue, and we have not stuck to that. So even if you have some programs that can be self-paying, you know, there's a reason why we have a budget. We have to follow what the budget says. If we also had a mid-year review budget, if we felt that something was so important and was self-financing, and therefore we needed to do it, we have to put it in the budget. You can't do a mid-year review in July, and over the next 6 months, you just put everything out of plan in the name of having a project that can be kept. Mm. That's just not acceptable.
Okay. Can you hold the line for me? Let's bring in the minority statement. They issued a statement earlier today on this particular situation. And George Rafe is still with me in the studio with the details. George, what are they?
So if you go through the statement, the bit that should be of interest to you is the bit that talks about the fact that whilst the finance minister in the 2025 budget announced that the primary fiscal deficit on commitment basis, and take this bit very importantly, the fiscal anchor of the IMF program to be 3.9% of GDP, the IMF board or the IMF found it to be 3.2%. Mm. Now, the minority is saying that in the budget, the finance minister, Dr. Tofosson, said that the fiscal anchor or on the IMF program to be 3.9% of GDP, the IMF found it to be 3.25%, a difference of 0.7% of GDP. Now, this notwithstanding, the IMF itself departed from its own definition of primary fiscal balance as the defined in the technical memorandum of understanding raised at the beginning of the program. By allowing the multi-year payables to feature in the determination of the primary fiscal balance as it occurred in 2024, the fund found Ghana's mission to be effectively assess the fiscal balance on metrics that were varied from all the previous reviews conducted under the program. We are confident that the executive board of the IMF review would review the fiscal performance with integrity and ensure that our economy is devoid of data manipulation to restore confidence in the fiscal data. So it appears that the minority is still contesting the fiscal numbers put out by the current administration when it comes to how much the previous administration spent in relation to, I mean, the cash basis and the fiscal basis and our primary balance and all those things. And even the fact that you've seen that they are raising issues about the metrics that are normally used in doing the assessment. Mm. But again, they try to draw some line that, what Dr. Tufosun put on the budget, there are some variants based on what the fund itself has captured in the current statement that they've reviewed. So in one breath, you realize that they are saying that that portion of trying to paint us black, of trying to have caused a mess, the current staff level agreement document issued today indirectly or in some way vindicates our stance. The things we said previously.
Judge, let me bring in the former Minister of Finance, Dr. Amin Adam, who is joining us on the line now. I'm grateful to you, Doc, for joining us. Now, today we're learning that the IMF says your government, when you were the finance minister, you spent beyond what you were expected to do, and that affected some of the target that you were supposed to achieve in that particular quarter. Why did that happen?
No, but that is a misrepresentation. You remember, we accused the government of manipulating the fiscal data to somehow support the erroneous impression which the government at the beginning of the year created to the effect that they inherited a badly managed economy. What the IMF has said is that as far as target for growth is concerned, we exceeded the target. The target was 3.1%, revised 4%. Growth was more robust than anticipated, ending 1%. The IMF also admitted in their statement that external sector improved significantly because of the reserves that we have accumulated. You know, gross international reserves ended the year at $8.9 billion, which was 4 months of import cover. And that was historical. The fund also agreed that the financial sector has been stabilized. The only area they expressed concern about is the fiscals. And with the fiscals, they are even talking about the primary fiscal balance, which is the anchor of the program. Now, we have accused the government of manipulating the data, and that is the data available to the IMF. And so when the IMF said towards the end of the year, it deteriorated, fiscal management deteriorated, exceeding the target for the year in terms of the primary fiscal deficit. It only made reference to the data the government presented to them. Now, as you know, the government has been asked to conduct an audit, and the IMF has shared the terms of reference with the government to conduct an audit. At the end of this audit, the IMF will come out with the true fiscal data. But even if you look at the preliminary fiscal data the IMF brought out, it is not the same as what the government reported in the budget. The government reported a primary fiscal deficit of 3.9%. The IMF, using the same data, has come out with a primary fiscal deficit of 3.25%. The difference is about 0.7% of GDP. So that alone tells us that the government data was not correct. Because how could two institutions using the same data come out with two different figures in terms of the primary fiscal deficit?
But do you remember the deficit you left when you were leaving office?
It is the government that will bring out the data. We left office before the data was brought out. And so I cannot tell. But if you look at the data in terms of how they came by it, they departed completely from the IMF formula for measuring the primary fiscal balance, which says that only payables accumulated in the material year can be used to drive the primary fiscal balance. Now, the data they have used includes multi-year data. And this is why the IMF has asked the government to conduct an aging analysis of the payables so that they will know how much of the payables occurred in 2023. How much of the payables occurred in 2022, those in 2021. But it's been presented as if all the payables they are complaining about occurred in 2024. And that is what they use in the fiscal data. And that is what produced the higher fiscal primary deficit that they are using.
So your argument is that after the study, it will be found that you had achieved your target.
Yes. We will we will not have missed the fiscal target. We would have gotten 0.6% surplus in terms of the primary fiscal balance from the data that we are supposed to have used. That is, if you take out the payables, the multi-year payables that they brought in. So you go to the budget statement, for example, you will see that under the fiscals, they actually reported the payables that occurred in 2024. And then below it, they brought another line amounting to 49 billion Ghana cedis. And this is data that they have brought from other years before 2024. And that is what distorted the fiscal data. And this is what we challenge them on. Now, the staff-level agreement has proven us right in many ways. First of all, if the economy was badly managed and all the targets were missed, they would not have reached a staff-level agreement. It would have meant that the program was off track. If you recall, in presenting the budget, the Minister for Finance, Honorable Arthur Fawcett, boldly declared that Ghana had breached the program. If you breach the program, it simply means that the program has collapsed. It means that the program has come to an end. But for government to reach a staff-level agreement with the IMF shows that the program is on track. Don't forget that this review, the fourth review, is based on end December 2024 economic performance. And so this government, the new government, has no contribution at all in terms of the benchmarks that have been used to arrive at the staff-level agreement. I have seen some statements attributed to the Ministry of Finance saying that they have worked hard to address the breach benchmarks. What breach benchmarks have you addressed?
So if I understand
they have just finalized discussing with the IMF their policies, their new policies. And if you go to what we call Memorandum of Fiscal and Financial Policy, you will see all the policies they've agreed with the IMF to implement.
So is it your argument that Stefan Rodé and his IMF team, you know, could not see the data for them to conclude that you engage in some slippages during your time?
No, usually what you do is that it is the ministry, the government, that provides the data to the IMF. Right. Now, if the IMF is not sure, they will still use the data, but they will ask you to validate the data. Okay? And this is why they have asked them to audit the payables, for them to know the amount of payables that occurred in 2024. And that will eventually be used to determine the true fiscal position for 2024. Okay? That is the practice. Because if you look at the formula for measuring the fiscal balance, the primary fiscal balance, it is very clear. And this is a formula which has been negotiated between the government of Ghana and the IMF. And it is clearly provided for in what we call the Technical Memorandum of Understanding, which is governing the implementation of the program. And it is clear that only payables that occurred in the year 2024 can be used to determine the primary fiscal balance.
But could you also
now,
be
this
that
new government brought the payables that occurred in 2024, reported in gift mix. And then they brought another line of payables, 49 billion Ghana cedis. Nobody knows which year they are bringing these payables from, because they already have reported on those that occurred in 2024.
Can that be the contract that were awarded to people in 2024, especially road contracts that were being done?
No, when you award a contract, you see, the budget makes provision for it. Now, if there is no budget for it, then a commencement certificate is issued.
Unfortunately, I've lost the former finance minister there, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam. But this has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Newsnight is up next year.